Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Superboy number 135, cover date January 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artists Kurt Swan and George Klein, edited by Mort Weisinger, featuring The Menace of the Mechanomaster, written by Jim Shooter, art by George Papp, and When Lana Lang First Suspected Clark Kent, written by Robert Bernstein, art by George Papp. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go, go!
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away.
Superboy is confronted by a masked criminal called the Mechanomaster. The villain possesses powerful weapons capable of harming even the Boy of Steel. Superboy is forced to be humiliated by Mechanomaster for fear the crook will set off explosions all over Smallville. Also, a Hall of Fame classic. During a party at the Kent home, Lana Lang nearly finds the hidden closet where Superboy stores his robots. Superboy then recalls how Lana has suspected him on many, many, many occasions of being Clark Kent. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
He can pick up an elephant, knock down a tree, hit the ball farther than anyone can see. He can swim the deepest ocean, fly higher than a kite, as easy as falling off a log, that's right.
Kid stuff, it's kid stuff, like playing with a toy. Kid stuff, show enough, kid stuff, Superboy.
Hey, how you been?
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
And you?
Oh, great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How long has it been since we've sat down together?
At least 2 weeks.
I'm sorry.
Well, you've been on the go. You're so in demand across the country and...
Yes.
Elsewhere.
Elsewhere. Yes, I had a family emergency and then I had business take me out of town.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm back.
Star of stage, screen, and podcasting.
It's really good to be back.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what's been going on. There's an election this week, you might have heard.
Oh, God, yes. Was that that was just this past week?
That doesn't it seem like it was 800 years ago?
Yes, it seems like it was longer than a week ago.
Well, buckle up, because it's going to be another long
4 years.
4 years.
Yes, it will.
Maybe, I don't know. You know, it's not January yet.
Yeah.
You never know what might happen.
Yeah, so, okay.
Let's
what
see.
Else has been going on?
I got this new sweater I'm wearing. It's got leather patches on the elbows, just like an academic.
Yes, it's very handsome. You look very fetching in that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I did lose 2 pounds last week, so.
There you go.
Practically melting out of my clothes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what else? What else has been going on? Just a bunch of work for me.
Work, yes. The cat's getting fat.
He's not getting fat. He's filling out.
Well, we call that getting fat in my day.
Well, we called it husky in my day, didn't we?
In
our day, we called it husky. I wore husky jeans, didn't
we? So did I.
Yes. And tough skins.
I never had tough skins because I wasn't a rough and tumble type.
Oh, I was. Yes, I've got the scars on my feet to prove it, running around all the time on my bare feet in Florida.
I'm surprised you didn't die of rattlesnake bite or something.
Well, I did see plenty of rattlesnakes growing up, and coral snakes, and water moccasins, and alligators, and whatnot.
Good night.
All sorts of horrible, poisonous reptiles.
All we had to worry about was rabid raccoons in
Ooh.
The city where I grew up.
And wild boars.
Wild boars.
Yeah, you see the property where I grew up. You've seen that property out there. It's all, like, undeveloped land.
Are they good eating?
You don't want to get near a wild boar, trust me.
Oh, don't I?
No, they have tusks, and they're aggressive, and those tusks can rip your flesh.
Okay.
Yeah, like they have the front tusks. Yeah, they can rip your flesh. It's horrible. So you just stay away from them.
You know, there was a Legion of Superheroes applicant named Tusker.
Really?
So he had tusks.
Oh.
He's probably pretty dangerous in a fight, is what
I'm
hearing.
He was, yes.
So he's no arm fall off boy, but
I'm trying to think of what sort of fun adventures we've had. We've had a couple things with friends.
Yes.
I saw a movie with Chuck on Friday night.
Chuck of our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra.
Yes, which was Heretic with Hugh Grant and two young actresses whose names I don't know. And it was very scary, and I've been thinking about it a little bit since then. It was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hasn't he done well?
Yes.
I remember when he was playing a Nancy boy in Morris.
Nancy boy. No one remembers Morris but us.
Well,
yeah.
Agree to disagree. I have just been watching my new Super Friends Blu-ray complete set.
I know you have. It's always when I come home from work a little, because my work day ends later than yours.
Yes.
You're often watching it, or in the evening when I go upstairs to practice, you're watching it.
Certainly. Well, yeah. I've got to get them all.
Of course. I have no criticism whatsoever. It's just here at the background.
Yeah. And that's my life up until now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm back on the guitar.
Yes.
Of course. I've gotten into a routine, and I'm back into... I know one listener is going to hate me saying this. I'm back into exercising.
Can confirm. He went for a jog this morning with Captain Butler.
I'm using a special training program that integrates walking and running to build me back up into what I used to do before my surgery and my back problems. So I'm just gently easing back into it and really enjoying it.
You know, when I was teaching in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
I did that one day. I got that Couch to 5K app,
mm-hmm.
and I did the first day.
Yeah.
Girl, I couldn't walk for 3 days.
Well, I will say that if you haven't been even jogging for a while, and you jog, and you don't do a walking and jogging experience with the emphasis on the walking and less on the jogging,
mm-hmm.
your legs will burn for about 4 days. And you have to stretch them and slowly integrate. I've had the same thing happen to me when I first started training. Again, it was like, oh my God, my legs were burning. But not just for a couple of days, because once you get into your next exercise,
mm-hmm.
The way this program is built, it's not all just one steady progression. It's a little progress, then slower, then progress, then slower. So you find yourself just not having that pain anymore after the first week or so.
Well, yeah. I wasn't ready for it.
Well, weightlifters have the same thing. Anybody who, I don't know any of our listeners lift weights. It's the same thing. If you take a break for a long time and then you go back and lift weight, you're sore all over because you're tearing muscles and then rebuilding them. And so, you know, it's painful.
Well, I think I'm going to invent an app walking upstairs.
There's all sorts of exercise apps for husky boys. All sorts. Like there's even exercises you can do in your bed.
Oh, I know. I'm all about the chair yoga, chair aerobics.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Build up strength. Get your body moving.
You know who doesn't need to build up strength?
Superboy.
Superboy. Talk about husky boys.
Mm.
Ouch, what agony.
Ha, what ecstasy.
It's Superboy, number 135. Presenting Mechanomaster, who invented the dart bomb that could penetrate Superboy's invulnerable skin. I'll say he's right there on the cover.
Yeah.
Ouch. Superboy's in agony. Mechanomaster's in ecstasy. Who is this mysterious Mechanomaster, I wonder? Is it possible? Can a gimmicked-up gangster actually turn the Smallville strong boy into a cringing coward? He can, and he does. To see the boy blockbuster's epic encounter with the terrifying traps of this electric evildoer, read The Menace of the...
Read The Menace of the Mechano... Mechano...
Good what is Lord. Wrong with you?
That's not all me. You just went right into the title. Hold on a second, so... To see the boy blockbuster's epic encounter with the terrifying traps of this electronic evildoer, read The Menace of the Mechano Master.
Just a reminder, these are the adventures of Superman
when he was a boy.
Meccano Master on the splash page has got Superboy dead to rights. He's making him kneel down, threatening him with a feather.
A feather?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder how this came to be. Let's find out.
One day, as Superboy patrols Smallville.
Ha ha, what do you know? It's Super Fool.
Some hero. Here's what I think of the autograph you once gave me, Rip.
The boob is stale. He couldn't catch a snowflake in a blizzard, much less a criminal.
What's this? Hardly the expected reaction for the boy blockbuster. Seconds later, elsewhere in town.
You know, these backwoods hayseeds in Smallville ought to keep their mouths shut.
They're very fickle.
Jiminy,
aren't
Christmas.
They?
Yes. Mm. Come on. Superboy catches some hoods who are robbing Mr. Miller's store. Also, why does Smallville have so much crime? Their economy couldn't be that great.
He's got to have something to do, Superboy.
Well, he can go anywhere, literally. He can go to space. He can go fight crime in outer space.
I've no idea. Why do they have a museum? Why do they have a jewelry store? Why do they have, well, I mean, you know, Moorfield, West Virginia had a jewelry
store. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, but who's got Miller's Hardware, Kent General Store? That's it. Bank. Corner Bank.
Bank.
How much loot could there be in
there's a museum, too.
A museum, sure.
Well, is there a museum? Yeah, there's a museum, yeah.
Of course there's a museum.
Yeah.
They're not complete idiots.
Well, you did call them hayseeds.
Well.
Okay, so someone says, look, Superboy's capturing the hoods who just robbed Mr. Miller's store.
Humph. He's great for collaring two-bit crooks and building a rep for himself. Why can't he nab the Meccano Master?
Oh my gosh, the Meccano Master. Meccano Master. Meccano Master. Why does that sound so weird coming out of my mouth?
Maybe it's Meccano Master.
Oh, let's do that. Meccano Master. The Meccano Master. He's the reason I've been branded the town clown. I remember that first time I met him at the art show in Smallville Park.
Art shows. Okay.
Yeah, art show. It's a local art show. There's nothing priceless in this collection. Trust me. I don't know why Meccano Master is trying to take that art.
Is it like country crafts?
Yes, with K's.
The giant stars that you put on your garage door.
Yes, and homemade jams and jellies and mm-hmm. needlepoint.
Inspirational sayings, plaques.
Live, laugh, die. Oh, so he says, ha-ha, this is Meccano Master.
Yeah.
Ha-ha, the shock sphere mounted on my sky sled will disarm the police while this anti-grav rod collects my loot, and his loot being photographs of local celebrities like the town. Mayor and
Miss Corn Silk
and
1955.
Miss Beetle, the spinster teacher.
Miss Beetle got married, as you well know, became Mrs. Sims in season 4 of Little House on the Prairie.
She lost her job, didn't she, when she got married?
Well, the whole town shut down.
Oh, yeah.
And when Mary went blind and came back to pack up to leave town, she gave her cameo brooch to Mary, which was given to Mrs. Sims by her first teacher. Mm. Oh, did I cry.
I bet you did.
And remember when they moved to Winnetka, wherever they moved to? The whole town moved to the big city?
No.
In season 5 of Little House on the Prairie?
You and your sister are dyed in the wool, 100% cut into you. You bleed Little House on the Prairie.
Correct.
I love Little House on the Prairie, but I haven't watched it in years. All I know is that the entire series, Carrie could never talk.
Also correct.
And Mary had husky eyes.
Yes.
And Laura was always getting into mischief, and I loved her. And, well, I mean, I remember all the characters, and of course, I always thought that Ma was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Sure.
What was her real name?
Karen Grassley.
Karen Grassley, yeah.
Well, in season 5, after Mary went blind, the whole town shut down because of corn prices fell or something,
mm-hmm.
and they all moved to Winnetka, I can't remember the name of the city, not Mankato, some bigger city than Mankato.
Okay.
Anyway, it seems like it was a whole season that they lived in this big town, but it wasn't. It was only like 5 episodes, and then they moved back.
I do remember them moving to a town.
Yes.
Isn't that where they got Willie?
Albert.
Albert, mm-hmm. Albert, yeah. Yeah.
And then they went back. And then
Albert was a street urchin, wasn't he?
Yes. Mm. And then Hester Sue Terhune came with her blind school for black children, and they all had to go and lead them with rope back to Walnut Grove to join
in the
blind
snow?
School there. No, I think it was summertime.
They didn't have a wagon?
They had a wagon for the adults, but the the blind children had to follow along, hold on to a rope, and walk across the countryside.
I just see watching you realize that has made me so happy. All the blind children, they couldn't ride. There weren't that many.
Oh, there was quite a few, yes. And Mrs. Olson founded the blind school in Walnut Grove, and then she was so excited to meet Hester Sue Terhune because she thought she was one of the St. Louis Terhunes. And then they got to pick up the children.
She was a black woman.
Turned out to be a black woman. And oh, was Harriet Olson mad as a hornet.
I remember that. But Harriet did come around, didn't she?
In her own way,
in
I
her
think,
own way,
yes.
What a great series that is, Little House on the Prairie.
I'll say.
They dealt with, Paul was a horrible farmer. Horrible farmer.
Well, the real life Charles Ingalls, you know, he just flittered around from job to job. He couldn't ever decide to be happy.
No. No.
Anyway.
So,
Here's Mechanomaster.
Mechanomaster. So, Superboy is attacking Mechanomaster. I'm going to call him Mechanomaster.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got a bomb, which he tosses at Superboy, and Superboy can't be harmed by bombs.
Mm-mm.
Except this one.
Actually
he's
hurts.
He's in agony.
Actually hurts.
The darts are piercing his skin, but how?
You'll never know it, Superboy. But the bomb was originally from Krypton, and every bit as super as you are.
That's in his thought bubble.
No, the drug will take effect. Let's turn the page.
A Superboy is hit with these darts. The sky sled speeds away, and
Superboy is a mess. He's drugged. He stumbles and his head goes through a tree.
Yeah.
He stumbles into a park bench, and someone's like, hey, look out, that park bench was just painted.
Of course it was.
So Superboy lives a super skunk as he's got green stripes across his uniform.
Oh. Hmm. I'm glad no one's concerned that the mightiest boy in the world is dizzy and falling all over himself.
Speaking of dizzy.
All they could do was make fun of him. What? Are you dizzy?
I think I need to go see the doctor.
What's happened?
I've been having this really, really low, low, low grade dizziness for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's really weird. My blood pressure is fine. I've been checking it. I feel great, but this really weird kind of low grade, very low grade dizziness.
Is it your vertigo?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your pills? Have you been taking your pills?
No, I don't take them unless I have an episode, and those things knock me out. And I'm pretty sure...
Well, let's just try one.
Well, I think I threw the medicine away because it's expired a couple years ago, but I need to go see my doctor.
Don't wait till it's an emergency.
Oh, my God, right? Oh, that is the worst. When I can't stand up and I'm vomiting and shaking vomiting and just...
Yes.
Yeah, it's awful.
I might have
you do one of those maneuvers on me this afternoon.
What's that? What?
That's the thing I taught you.
Don't say that out on the air.
No, now, now. That's the thing where I lie back and you hold me and I turn my head at 45 degrees and you quickly pick me. It could be a realignment of the crystals in my ears.
Okay.
We'll try that. It's not called the Epstein maneuver, but it's like that.
Well, I don't want to have the men come carry out... upright chair where you're not allowed to touch the walls.
Oh my God, that was the worst. Awful.
I know. Remember? I was there.
And then I thought I was going to die. And so I started, I've never had this before, like the biggest panic attack in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely drenched in cold sweat because I thought I was dying. I mean, I really did think I was dying.
Sure.
And I just, every time I moved, I had to throw up. It was the worst.
Well, just in case, I'll have some papers for you to sign this week.
Okay.
Superboy's fine, everyone. He flies off into the sky, and he's going to get to the bottom of this Mechanomaster business. His mask is lead-lined, of course, so Superboy can't see who he is.
Yes.
If he were shorter and lighter, I'd swear he was Lex Luthor, my teenage rival.
But he's not, right?
No, he's dropped out of sight recently.
I wasn't sure where you were. Okay. So you're on the bottom of page 3?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
For their second encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanomaster is descending from the sky in some kind of a flying teacup.
Well, there doesn't appear to be any sort of way to suspend it in the air. No propellers.
Right.
No, you know, I don't quite understand what it is. It must be some sort of magnetic device. From the
well,
few...
Oh. Oh, spoiler alert.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, he releases dozens of mechanical crabs.
Yes.
Heading right for Smallville Savings and Loan Company.
Aren't they clever, these little crabs, with their little claws, and they're dismantling the wall and breaking into the local savings and loan. They've broken into the safe, and they're taking money. I mean, I say, if you're going to rob a bank and you can have a mechanical beast do your work for you, why not? Right? To sit back and watch it happen.
Luckily, teenage Clark Kent is out delivering canned goods to old Mrs. Hubbard or something, and then now's his chance to make up for the last time.
Right. So he quickly changes into Superman.
Yep.
Or Superboy.
Superboy.
Superboy. And launches onto the attack of the scene. However, the, what is it called? Mechanomaster. I know, right? I really should do my homework. I did read this.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of a clever way to say his name. Mechanomaster decides to use a new weapon against Superboy. It's called the Reverser.
The Reverser.
Which makes Superboy do exactly what he had just done, but in the reverse. He jumps backwards. He speaks backwards.
Yes, just like Zatanna.
Uh-huh. And people start laughing at him. Making a sap out of a soup.
Again, no concern from the population that their teenage hero is being seriously affected.
Exactly.
Now, what's the danger in this? Some little harmless fun? Oh, no. Because he's going to race backwards into the alleyway where he just changed.
Yes. Luckily, he's able to stop while Mechanomaster is launching his is loading his crabs into his floating teacup, which is now green instead of red.
Ah, nice catch. Mm-hmm. Maybe it changes color, like one of those magic teacups. Like when it's full of loot, it changes to green.
Right. Like when you put it, when it's hot, it's one color. Yeah. And like, you know, like a coffee mug has printing on the outside when it gets hot.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, something like, fuck you. I mean, good morning.
Uh-huh. Or like it'll have, you know, Betty Page, and if you pour hot coffee and she's naked.
She's naked, yeah. Yeah.
Mechanomaster soars into the sky on his platform, and Superboy gives chase.
Now, Mechanomaster does try to fire something in him. What is it he's firing? Oh, he's trying to use his reverser again. But Superboy is wised up to his maneuvers and is able to outmaneuver him. Now, Mechanomaster flies up into the sky.
Where Superboy discovers he's got a floating citadel of crime.
Yeah.
Big, gargantuan building with rockets underneath keeping it aloft.
Now, why couldn't... you see that in that bottom of page 5 where Mechanomaster says he's in a citadel of crime. He can draw unlimited weapons to defeat Superboy.
Uh-huh.
My magnetic control is hooked onto this giant crane, which will lift me inside. It's in the same, like if you've got a magic teacup that changes colors and can fly without the aid of rockets or jets or anything, and then you fly to a flying fortress in the sky, you can probably get into it without
just,
the aid of a
crane.
A crane. So yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I'm not a criminal mastermind. So there's probably a very good explanation for it.
Are you sure?
That I'm not a criminal mastermind?
That there's a good explanation for it? I think there is, we're seeing the limits of the mental capacity of the writers. But now, didn't they have... They did have, at the time that this was drawn, this is 1966, right?
Uh-huh.
So they had battleships and they had aircraft carriers?
Yes, but remember, these are the adventures of Superman when he was a boy.
Oh.
So this would be taking place probably...
In the 40s?
'50s? Early 50s, probably, okay. Yes.
All right.
Although they don't really...
But in the 50s, they still had aircraft carriers, but they didn't have jets. They used propeller planes.
In the 50s?
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't use jet aircraft on aircraft carriers until after World War II.
The 1950s.
Well, I'm thinking about this. So when you're looking at popular aircraft travel of this time, not of the 60s, but of the time that we're talking about, the early 50s.
Yes.
It was mostly prop planes. Jets were being perfected at this time. they weren't widely used.
The military had jets. Hal Jordan was a test pilot in the 50s.
Okay. Let me see.
Well, when? That's the truth. I know my Green Lantern facts.
All right. Jets invented for warfare. Warfare in the USA.
They had atomic bombs.
I was wrong.
Go on.
Let me see.
This is how the first generation. We just do our research.
Okay, so the first generation was in the mid-1940s to mid-1950s. Mm. So I am right about them still perfecting it. The second generation were in the 50s to early 60s. The third generation in the 60s to 70s. So the first generation were in the that would have been limited technology, basic avionics, and weaponry with a focus on air-to-air combat. Was the and subsonic speed mid-1940s to mid-1950s. Okay, so
well, sure. My father remembers Chuck Yeager flying his jet over Dunbar, West Virginia, when he was in high school.
So my point being,
yes,
the
why didn't he fly in the window?
Exactly.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Why did he have to be lifted in via a crane? Especially something as small and maneuverable as that flying platform.
Well, it's full of crabs. That's why.
Okay.
Well, now this spherical object flies out of the fortress, and Superboy has a memory spark. Something tells him he's got to get away from this flying sphere.
Yes, and it chases him around.
Yes.
And then he's enveloped in some sort of plastic that's hardening into a globe with him inside.
What was that toy that you would blow it out through a straw and it would make like a oily bubble?
Magic bubbles.
And it was, but it was not like it wouldn't pop, right? It would make like a sticky.
It was like a, it was a form of like an acrylic rubber.
Uh-huh.
You didn't ingest it. It had a little bit of a chemical smell to it, but you would put it around the end of a straw and then blow it into a bubble, and then you could cap it off, and it would keep its form. But and it wasn't sticky.
Boy, right? We did have fun in the old days, didn't we?
Things were so simple then.
Great rings of Krypton. This icky goo that he's encased in is unbreakable.
Mm.
And while Superboy's trapped in it, Mechano Master is escaping in his sky citadel.
Right. So after half an hour, Superboy lands. He's trying to break. He was able to break off one small piece of it. Use his microscopic vision, and
he suddenly remembers that he invented this super plastic 6 months ago.
Right. But he hadn't perfected it yet. How can Mechano Master know the secrets of Superboy?
Right.
So he does press against the bubble.
Yes.
And breaks it. Of course, Mechano Master is watching on his long-distance monitor.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Helpfully labeled.
Mm-hmm.
He returns to Smallville, Superboy does,
mm-hmm.
and looks like there's some kind of excitement going on in the middle of town. Mechano Master's set up some kind of device in the middle of the town square.
Everybody's saying, better keep away from it. Of course, Superboy goes up, and he says, everybody's like, oh, here's Superboy. He'll take care of this thing. Like he took care of that crook before?
Now, there's a note attached in a lead foil envelope, which says, the envelope says, Superboy, I know your true identity. Your picture is inside. Love, M.M. Well, there is no picture inside, only a note.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Super Sap, I would advise you not to leave the platform on which you are now standing. By stepping on it, you activated a powerful pressure bomb connected to it. The addition or subtraction of any weight greater than this paper will trigger a blast that will reduce Smallville to ruins. So don't even move suddenly.
So he's standing on this platform, and of course Mechano Master decides, oh, well, he's there. I think I'll just come in and bother him. Right, well, he lands at Citadel.
Yeah, and honestly, if not for Superboy's kindly parents, the Kents, the Smallville would deserve destruction for the way they've treated Superboy.
Oh, absolutely. Wipe it off the earth.
It's a good thing he's not a typical teen, or he would have just flown off.
Right? In a fit of rage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Superboy's stuck on this platform now because he's a good lad. Here comes Mechano Master out of the flying castle, and he's going to taunt Superboy now.
Yeah.
He's just forced to cower in front of the entire town.
Yes. So he says, and the children are watching, look, Superboy's cowering and Mechano Master doesn't have a weapon.
Just fucking kids. So they ruin
punches,
everything.
He punches
Superboy. Punches Superboy over and over and over again. The town's taunting him because they're calling him a coward because he won't even fight back.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
Luckily, Superboy's best pal, Pete Ross, is there. Pete knows that Superboy is secretly Clark Kent.
Yeah. His white hair.
Well, it's just not colored, right? His hair is blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Pete finds the note that Superboy is trapped there to protect the town, and he shows all the kids.
Hey, gang, listen to this. So Superboy is allowing himself to be humiliated to save our skins. And how are you returning the favor?
Pete's right. We've been real rats.
Let's give Soupy a hand.
Meanwhile, Mechano Master says, that's it, Superboy. Down on your knees. Beg me not to hit you with this feather.
I have no choice. I must do as he says for the sake of Smallville.
All right, please, don't hit me.
Come on, gang. He can't stop us all. So the town rallies.
The town rallies. The kids decide to take on Mechano Master. And then Mechano Master creates an earthquake.
An earthquake which splits the main street right in two.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to have go rob the museum across the street. Next moment, the Citadel of Crime again takes to the air. Superboy realizes that he has noticed a cable leading from the pressure plate to the bomb, and his keen X-ray vision has determined that if he just disconnects this cable, the cable won't set off the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And off he flies. Now, Mechano Master has lifted the entire roof off of the Smallville Museum, and his anti-gravity rods are drawing valuable relics into his citadel.
It's not a very large museum, is it?
It really isn't. I wonder how many things of value could be there.
Well, there's a medieval catapult there. Uh-huh. I see a Tibetan statue. And
yes.
I see a globe and some paintings and what looks like a television set or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of case.
Luckily, there's a few items left in the museum that Superboy thinks can help, like the battering ram. And a few blows of that, and that citadel's going to come crashing down to the ground.
Yeah, he decides to not take on the citadel itself directly, but rather to use objects to hurl toward it, which is successful. He he manages to hit the door, and then the citadel crashes to the ground.
Yes, and Mechano Master never thought Superboy could escape the bomb trap, so he had no other weapons ready.
Mm-mm.
His only chance is to divert Superboy.
So, at the next moment, Superboy is perceiving that the entire world is upside down.
But he realizes immediately it's a trick.
Mm-hmm.
He must overcome the illusion. And off he goes to take this castle apart.
But then what happens?
Well, Mechano Master is going to have to use Plan 5. Superman Robot. Oh, I guess it's Plan S. Plan S for Superman Robots.
Okay.
Great galaxies, Superboy exclaims. He's sending out robots that resemble me, only full grown.
And they're armed with giant hardware tools.
Yes.
Hardware tools, not weapons, just hardware tools.
Yeah.
So they attack Superboy with what appears to be a giant saw, a giant hammer, a vice mm-hmm. grip, and they drive him through a boulder.
Yeah, fun. Well,
that's going to hurt tomorrow.
Superboy makes quick work of these robots And now he's going to break into the Citadel. But we hear now that Mechano Master has a kryptonite energy cube, which can destroy Superboy. But he's going to be here in seconds. Superboy busts into the castle, mm-hmm. knocks over some gas storage tanks accidentally, but that'll come back to be important later. And Mechano Master tries to use his last chance weapon, a smoke screen. lead gas smoke screen.
But Superboy just blows it all about, doesn't he?
Yes, and he follows his voice, takes Mechano Master's helmet off, and it's
Lex Luthor.
But you're older, an adult. How? Well, let me take the time to give you the whole story.
Since you've caught me, yeah.
You see, this is your secret fortress of solitude, which you'll build when you grow up and will stock with weapons and trophies from all over the universe.
Mine? That explains the Superman robots and my super plastic and radar. Super. I mean, come on. Super robot, super plastic.
Lex is kind enough to give Superboy a tour of the Fortress of Solitude, and this is Kandor, a Kryptonian city, shrunk by a space villain Brainiac you'll defeat someday.
The K-bomb affected you because it came from Kandor, and the reverser originated in another dimension.
Well, I'll be a three-eyed Kryptonian babooch.
So he says, there's just one thing that puzzles me. If this was a secret sanctum, how did you find it?
Aha, haha, that's one of Luthor's cleverest coups. In the future, Superman was making a personal appearance, and Lex disguised himself as a fan, and while he was busy signing autographs, he attached a radioactive device to Superman's cape, which will enable him to track him to his hideout.
So, Luthor got into his aircraft and traced the radioactive emanations to the Fortress of Solitude. He planned to send Superman and the fortress into the remote past when Earth's sun was red, and that would have robbed him of his powers. Yes?
That's not how the sun would not be red in the past. It would be red
in the future.
In the future.
Yeah.
Oh, Lex. Mm-hmm. You're a scientist. You should have known that simple fact, which I know just from reading comic books.
But he made one miscalculation. Well, one was the premise of his plan in the first, but emanations from the tracer caused his time beam to backfire so that Luthor, not Superman, was hurled into the past with the fortress, and the same malfunction caused them to stop in Superboy's time.
Oh, wait, look, we have a year, 1948.
48, okay.
So that makes, like, it's 20 years. So this makes Superman in 1966, Superman's like mid-30s.
Okay, cool.
Because he's at least 16 in these Superboy stories.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if I couldn't have revenge on you in the future, Superman, I decided to humiliate you, your younger self, in the past, using the weapons in your own fortress. Of course, I found ways to avoid the booby trap Superman had rigged to catch trespassers.
And since you couldn't be in two places at the same time, young Lex was transported into the future.
Thus explaining his disappearance earlier referenced in the story.
Exactly.
Now,
Superboy just picks up the fortress and Lex
tosses it into the future.
Tosses it into the future. I didn't know that was possible.
I didn't either. He's a clever lad.
I guess so.
Realizes that when adult Luthor reaches the future, his younger self will be returned here to the year 1938. Uh-oh, Superboy almost forgot about those tanks of gas he knocked over earlier.
Right.
I'll just gather them up and destroy them with my heat vision. La-dee-da. He destroys three. He remembers that there had been four tanks.
Right.
Well, the fourth one is there behind a rock, damaged, and it just happens to be amnesium gas.
Which wipes out his memory.
Yep. Wiped out the memory of his own future life. Now let's skip ahead to Metropolis in 1966. I'm not going to dwell on how the fortress, got back into the future and arrived encased in ice once it arrived back to the future. So Superman now has captured Luthor and classic Superman. He's wrapped him in a fence and deposited him outside police headquarters. And flies back to the fortress to get a dose of amnesium gas so that Luthor will forget the location right. of the fortress. But at the fortress, he finds that there are canisters of amnesium gas missing.
Hmm.
How did that happen?
Yeah. Hmm. And he says, did Luthor use the other four tanks? Well, I won't miss the one that had been contaminated with kryptonite. It would have affected me. The wall here has been freshly patched.
Oh, that's how it affected Superboy in the past, because it was infected with kryptonite. Why did you save it?
Yeah, why?
I think I'll just keep this bottle of gas with kryptonite in it.
That could kill me. No, Superboy didn't get affected by amnesium gas, did he? I mean, he did, yes, but did it have kryptonite in it?
Well, it didn't say that in the past, but...
Yeah, it's a panel right above it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now we know why, because obviously normal gas is not going to affect Superboy.
Okay.
Duh. You think that's all we have to talk about today?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, my friend.
No. The last one was a good comic, but this one is wonderful.
We've got a Hall of Fame classic, friends. Here's another of the most requested stories from Superboy's past. This all-time favorite tale concerns Lana Lang's persistent plots to ferret out the Boy of Steel's secret identity.
Obsession.
In fact, we're taking you all the way back to the day when Superboy met Lana, and she set out to expose his alter ego the day when Lana Lang
first suspected Clark Kent
of being Superboy. That's unspoken there in the... This story first appeared, I had to find it.
Okay.
From 1961. And would you like to know some trivia?
Sure.
This story inaccurately shows Lana Lang moving to Smallville when she was in high school. It has been established elsewhere that Lana lived in Smallville as a child and grew up with Clark long before they attended high school. It is possible, however, that Lana moved away temporarily with her father and then moved back to town during this story.
Okay.
All right. Lana's tried to trick... Well, let's just go right into the story.
Okay.
One night at the Kent house in Smallville, as Clark Kent throws a party for his friends...
They're all playing... They're probably, in the rumpus room?
Yes.
And they're all... it's all his high school friends, right?
Yeah.
And Lana, they're playing Pin the Emblem on the Superman. It's like Pin the Tail on the Donkey.
Superboy.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
Boy, kids sure knew how to have fun.
They did. There's no alcohol involved.
No alcohol. And Mrs. Kent's there with Pa cookies. Kent.
Yep, Ma and Pa Kent.
The children are all wearing jackets and ties. That's my kind of party. So Lana is blindfolded and spun around and heads not towards the poster of Superboy where she is supposed to pin the emblem on, but towards the wall where Clark conceals a spring controlling a sliding door behind which are his Superboy robots.
Oh, no.
Yes.
She is going to expose Clark.
First of all, why would they be having a party in this room? Is there no... It's a farm. They've got a barn out back. I'd put kids in the barn.
Maybe it's cold outside.
They can put a heater in a barn or fire or Edison lamps or something, whatever they have.
I don't know. It is a bit of a strange premise, isn't it?
If that spring is pushed, Pa Kent panic-stricken thinks.
Yes.
If that spring is pushed, a secret panel will automatically open, revealing the hiding place of Clark's robots. Then everybody will discover Clark's vital secret that he is Superboy's other identity.
So Pa Kent goes over and whispers to Clark.
Clark.
Lana has always expected you of being Superboy. Now her suspicions will be confirmed, son, unless you can do something fast.
It would be Lana Lang who would expose my Superboy identity. Ever since I've known her, there's been a duel of wits between us. She's always trying to trap me into revealing I'm Superboy. I constantly counteracting to make her think her suspicions are false.
Now, by an ironic twist of fate, she's at the brink of achieving her goal. In a second, she'll push the hidden spring that'll reveal the robots only Superboy could have made. But yet, it was always this way. Okay, so I'm sorry. Yet it was always this way. And now we get into a flashback. 1980s flashback sequence. Like when Facts of Life doesn't, they have some very, very
clip
loose.
Show?
The clip show.
Yeah.
Yes.
I recall when Lana's family returned to Smallville after traveling for several years. One afternoon, as I helped Dad at the store...
Oh, Dad, that book which blind Dr. Muir ordered, a copy of Moby Dick in Braille, just arrived from the publishers. Shall I phone Dr. Muir to pick it up?
Well, just say Dr. Muir. Don't say blind Dr. Muir. It's implied that he's blind since he ordered a book in Braille.
Well, maybe Paul Kent is... Well, this is difficult remembering a lot of facts.
Well, you can't call him because he has no phone.
Oh.
Clark.
Oops. Hit the mic.
Oh.
There you go.
Poor blind Dr. Muir. He was blinded in an auto accident. After that, he retired to a lonely shack on Eagle's Peak and seldom comes into town. He lives like a hermit because he's afraid people may pity him.
Hmm.
That's a valid concern in Smallville, which is a town full of assholes who make fun of
they the are all people assholes, who are aren't
they? Crippled and in distress.
Yes.
Look at the blindie.
Just then, Clark's super senses pick up a sound of a crash a few blocks away. It's Professor Lang and his daughter Lana, and they're moving back into town, and the movers have clumsily dropped an antique statue, which is shattering into 1,000 pieces.
So, this is amazing. The worried man was the father, because you've already got the suits. So, what does he do? He changes into Superboy, goes and sees Professor or Dr. Lang and Lana and the movers, and offers that if they get him some glue based upon the photograph that they have inside the chest, inside the crate, he will reassemble the statue, which he says as good as new. He will reconstruct it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he does.
Which he does.
At super speed.
Yeah.
I think this is the same statue that was being robbed from the museum in the first story.
It looks like it was.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just then, Superboy, a funny thought just struck me. If you wore glasses, you'd look exactly like a classmate of mine, Clark Kent.
Her father says, "You mean that shy, timid lad I met at Kent's general store where we bought some things for the house after moving in? Don't be silly, Lana. There's no comparison between the two boys."
Maybe you're right, Dad. It was just a thought. So Lana Lang, airhead teenager, is going to be the only person that realizes that Clark Kent looks exactly like Superboy, just without glasses.
At this point, yes. But that thought never left Lana's head, not for a moment.
Right.
From that time on, she always suspected him of being Superboy and sought every opportunity to prove her suspicions.
Uh-huh.
Another flashback.
Another flashback. I remember the first time she tried to trap me. One day, the school nurse had called me down to her office.
She says, the nurse says, "For some reason, Clark, we have no dental record. Therefore, on Saturday morning, you'll visit Dr. Horton, the school dentist. This note will introduce you."
School dentist. Oh. Yes, Miss Zale.
Of course, being indestructible, Clark had never had a toothache.
Uh-huh.
That's why he'd never been to a dentist.
Uh-huh. But having no dental record is suspicious because every normal boy gets some tooth decay. I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
My father.
Your father.
Born in 1926, and so, you know, of an age with Superboy. He never had a cavity his whole life.
Your father never had a cavity?
My father never had a cavity. And same with his mother. Oh, now she did have dentures. Never mind. I'm not going to take that back.
But your father never did.
My father never had a cavity.
You know, I have a friend. He and his wife have never had cavities.
Yes?
Yes. And their daughter, their 11-year-old daughter, just went and had her first cavity filled.
Huh. So you see, it's not so unusual.
No.
Lana, your Miss Nurse, you stupid-ass nurse. Now, Clark could just imagine what Lana's going to think when he tells her he's going to visit the school dentist.
She is such a busybody. She has absolutely no business dealing with his health records.
This is a HIPAA violation because, Clark doesn't know I'll be at the dentist's office because Dr. Horton is my uncle and I'm helping him while his nurse is away.
She's the worst. She's such a busybody, right? She's like Mrs. Kravitz, but much, much more active. So, she goes, when the school nurse phoned that Clark was coming, I alone guessed why he had no dental record. Superboy can't have any tooth decay, so his secret identity as Clark will be exposed by his perfect teeth.
Luckily, the next morning, Clark uses his X-ray vision to scout out the dentist's office before entering.
The Kent boy is a strange case, Lana. He has no dental record whatever.
I've got a theory about that, Uncle. Brace yourself for a big surprise.
So Clark bursts into the door with a bandage tied around his chin, Jacob Marley, right?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I'm so lucky. Wait, I'm so lucky I had this appointment with you, Dr. Horton. I have a terrible toothache. Oh, the pain's driving me wild.
What? How can Superboy suffer pain?
He says, the tooth looks normal, son, but from your yelps of pain, there must be an abscess underneath it. I'll have to pull it out. I'll give you Novocaine.
No. You must give me gas, only gas. I'll be afraid if you extract it any other way. I can't stand any pain.
Well, Clark made such a fuss about that that Dr. Horton gave in. Naturally, the gas had no effect on Clark's super lungs. But, of course, Dr. Horton didn't know that.
No.
He's finally asleep, Lana. I can pull out his tooth now.
Meanwhile, Lana's disgusted. What a coward that boy is. I must have been crazy to have certain ideas about him.
Now, Superboy opens one eye at super speed,
mm-hmm.
so they won't know that he's awake, and he focuses a thin beam of heat vision on the gas tank, penetrating it, risking the lives of everyone in the room.
Yes, and a fire, probably. A strong whiff of gas engulfs Dr. Horton and Lana, momentarily knocking them out. He uses the time when they're knocked out to put a false tooth, which I made at home, into Dr. Horton's forceps. When he comes to, he'll think he yanked my tooth because I stained it with red ink.
And he plugged up the tiny hole in the gas tank. So
we do read that years later, Superman used the same trick to help Supergirl when she must have also been without dental records
in
the orphanage where he put her cruelly.
Right. And they gave her a wig. He just wears glasses. She's got to put on a hot wig.
Right.
Right? So, Dr. Horton is seen standing there with the false tooth in his pincers, and he says, there must be a leak in the gas tank because I blacked out for a second, but I yanked your tooth anyway, and hey, come back. I didn't pack your gums.
I've had enough. Just send my dad the bill. Bye.
You see, he couldn't let Dr. Horton see that no tooth had been
pulled. No. Next year, he thinks, when I perfect my robot building technique, I'll make a Clark Kent robot with a missing tooth.
So no one will be the wiser.
But yeah, lots of people are going to see you between now and then with no missing tooth.
But Lana's curiosity remained abnormal. Her intuition must have told her I'd somehow tricked her. Anyway, she's very happy a month later when she learned that I, like any other student, had to bring a vaccination certificate to school.
Huh.
Oh, poor
Clark. By the way, all these memories are happening in the seconds that it's taking Lana to creep across the room.
Well, the brain's very quick, isn't it?
I'll say. Now, Clark thinks he's in a real jam. Because if I don't bring in a vaccination certificate, I'll be vaccinated in school because an epidemic is threatening Smallville.
Ha! Huh. If Clark doesn't show up with a certificate, I'll know he's Superboy.
It's too bad Superboy isn't growing up these days when nobody trusts big vaccine.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't trust. So she says,
I'll bet he never gets one. How can he be vaccinated when his skin can't be penetrated by a needle? I mean, if he's Superboy.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea. Blind Dr. Muir, who ordered that Braille book from Dad's store. I'll change to Superboy and visit him. You mean all this time no one's delivered that poor man his book?
Right? Months have gone by.
Well, he doesn't have a phone. I guess he won't get that book.
We'll just leave it here. He's already paid for it, by the way, probably.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. He flies to Dr. Muir's shack on Eagle Peak. Bursts in the door. Dr. Muir, of course, thinks he's a
burglar.
I'm glad to see Dr. Muir retained his medical bag. You know what he needs?
What?
Dr. Midnight's vision goggles.
Oh.
Dr. Midnight's also a blind doctor, but he invented infrared goggles so he can see perfectly the day, and he can see in pitch blackness at night.
That's amazing. It's like a bat.
Of course, you wouldn't know anything about Dr. Midnight because he's on Earth, too.
Okay.
How do I know you're Superboy? If bullets bounce off you, you might be wearing a bulletproof vest.
So he starts testing. I think he just wanted to test Superboy.
I think they needed to fill up some panels.
Yeah.
I'm flying you above the ground, Doctor. Do you feel the breeze and the cool air, the whoosh sound of speed?
I don't care. It might be a trick. You may be using a huge fan and sound effects.
He returns to the cabin and told him that I'm going to use my X-ray vision to tell him what coins he had in his pocket. I see a quarter, a dime, 5 pennies, and ah, yes, a Canadian penny.
That proves nothing! You could have sneaked into my cabin last night and counted my change!
I doubt he would have snuck in because the first thing he did was open the door and get shot with a gun.
Yeah.
You still might be an imposter who wants to my help for some crooked purpose.
Well, here's another idea. I picked up a flashlight and flashed it to Dr. Muir's eyes.
You say you're beaming a flashlight into my eyes, but I see nothing. Why, I can't even see the sun.
All right. Then you'll admit only someone possessing superpowers could operate a light you can see.
Thereupon, I flew out and ripped 2 huge chunks of flint like rock from the mountainside. Then
I'm striking 2 boulders together at super speed, creating super sparks 10 times more brilliant than sunlight.
Gasp! Yes, now I do see a glimmer of light. You must be Superboy. Nobody without the power of creating some super force could have done this.
That reminds me of the concert we saw last night with the boy playing the cymbals.
Yes.
He had such a smooth cymbal crashing motion.
He did, didn't he?
It looked actually very cool.
It did look cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did miss one of his cues, though.
He did. But then after that, he got every single one, and we were rooting for him
It was so much fun because it was the last piece of the concert. Uh-huh. And you and I were sitting in the back row.
Yes.
And we both noticed that he missed the cymbal cue. Uh-huh. And we both looked at you and you looked at me. And so the next one, when he got it right, we both secretly clapped like we were rooting for him.
I was rooting for him.
Yeah.
Sincerely.
I know. It was fun. It was like a silly little moment that you and I only share that no one else can see. It was like we're clapping for him every time we got the cue right.
Once he
explained his predicament. Yes. Go ahead.
Superboy explains the predicament without revealing that he's Clark Kent. But okay. Dr. Muir agrees to sign a certificate.
You may be keeping your secret even from me by typing in... No, wait, I'm sorry. He says, you may keep your secret even from me by typing in your own name, but I hate to misrepresent. I haven't really vaccinated you, Superboy.
Okay, here's a needle. Vaccinate away.
As Dr. Muir touched his skin,
oh, the needle broke. But at least I didn't lie. I did vaccinate you as best I could.
Right. Now I'll paint a small scar on my arm so that it looks like a vaccination mark.
And Lana, being exactly the busybody that she is, needless to say, Lana was terribly shocked when I turned in my certificate and exhibited my vaccination.
Yeah.
From a convenient distance. You were vaccinated. You have a certificate. Lana, it's none of your business.
Thank you. Of course. Who'd you think I was? Superboy?
Well... Now we get back to the present.
Yes.
Where Lana is so close to exposing Super.
So close.
Yes. But he says, I haven't had enough flashbacks in this issue yet, so I'm going to have one more flashback to when last winter when the class went skiing, and he pretended to be timid about skiing, and Lana got furious.
Stop putting on an act. You fooled me many times before. If you're not Superboy, prove it once and for all by letting me see you at the same time I see Superboy.
Superboy thinks, I can't trick Lana by using a Superboy robot. My mechanical robots aren't perfected yet, and their motors would be affected by the magnet in that ski lift motor. Really? Okay.
Apparently.
I guess so. Okay.
Then an idea hit me. When Lana skied down the slope, I flew off out of sight around the mountain. By the time she returned, we had a surprise visitor.
There's a Superman up on the slope.
Superboy.
Superboy. Look, Clark, there's Superboy standing at the edge of that precipice, and he's talking.
Hello, fellow kids. I hope you're all enjoying your winter outing.
Then suddenly, look, now he's taking off in the midst of a snow flurry. Forgive me, Clark, for suspecting you. I do believe now that you're not Superboy.
If only Lana knew the truth, wink.
At super speed, while Lana was gone, Superboy built a Superboy snowman. I'm sorry, Clark built a Superboy snowman and clothed it in his own Superboy costume.
Uh-huh. I made it talk by projecting my voice with super ventriloquism.
Hello, fellow kids.
When nobody was looking, I tossed a barrage of snowballs 50 at a time at the snowman.
Thus, when the snowballs hit it, created the illusion that Superboy flew off amidst a snow flurry. Later, I retrieved my costume.
Yes, it only takes a moment for an instant for these memories to flash through my mind, during which time Lana has pinned the emblem right on the wall.
Ma Kent thinks, it's too late, son. Lana's pushing the hidden spring. Now the secret panel will slide back and everyone will see the robots.
But a minute later...
Gosh, I was way off the mark, wasn't I?
She has placed the Superboy emblem on the wall.
Yes. Martha, I'll be hornswoggled. Lana pushed the spring, but the door didn't slide open. It must have jammed. What a lucky break for our son.
However, when the party is over, It wasn't luck that prevented the door from opening, Dad. Here come the robots now, sliding open the door themselves.
Did we do all right, Master? We hope we protected your secret. You robots did fine. You see, Dad, before Lana touched the hidden spring, I used my X-ray vision to activate the robots. They realized my danger and prevented the door from opening by holding it tight. So Lana can go right on suspecting and learn nothing. I hope. So well, there's two Superboy robots and one Clark Kent. Is that the Clark Kent robot with a missing tooth?
Missing tooth. I wish I could whistle faster. It's just that the S is created behind the alveolar ridge and the hard palate, and my diction takes place farther forward. So
yeah, you're very European in that regard.
Well, I have to pull my tongue back to make the sound, and it doesn't. It's not easy. It's not quick.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be better if I could somehow make it happen up closer to the front of my. Alveolar ridge.
Well, keep working. You'll get there someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can find us on
social media. Social media.
At Go Check Pod. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, Nerd underscore Orchestra on Instagram. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, wherever your podcast from. And you can find us right back here next week.
For sure.
With the most exciting character find of 1967.
Swear to God, if it's another Jerry Lewis, I'm going to jump off the edge of the earth.
Oh, no, my friend. It's a special treat I've been saving all year just for you.
You're kidding.
Boana Beast.
Oh, my God.
What?
Boana Beast?
Yes, Boana Beast.
Wow, that's a nice change.
You haven't read it yet. You might want to hold your opinion.
Well, it's a break from, you know, the Stanley and his monster.
Sure, and all those other ones. Yeah. Super hip.
Seems to me like when I think about what we read, it's, you know, one war comic, Superboy, Superman, Lois Lane, and the occasionally get thrown a bone with a Green Lantern or something fun. You know, and all Jerry Lewis, all Bob Hope, and Stanley and his monster. That's all we read.
I'm sorry to have brought you such misery into your life.
You have created so much richness in my life. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. Okay. Likewise, I'm sure. Bye.
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
In the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone come on.
Hey, you on the ground.
You on the ground.
Take a look up and see what we found.
Nothing to tie us. Bluebirds come up to guide us.
When you're beside me, we can fly.